Well, praise God. Tonight happens to be communion, which I actually gave a communion message last week, if you were here. Not realizing that we were going to do communion a week later, but that's okay. I don't pay attention to the schedule sometimes. But not only are we celebrating today the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ through communion, today is 9/11. 15 years ago today, our nation faced a major tragedy, probably one of the worst, if not the worst, that we ever have faced. Maybe Pearl Harbor, was that way, but I wasn't here during Pearl Harbor. And if you were, probably most of you were fairly young, anyway. But it was we all remember where we were when it happened. I happened to be in my bedroom, packing, getting ready to board an airplane myself for Miami, Florida. And it was kind of interesting because I never actually thought that they were going to actually cancel my flight. I wasn't thinking properly. Wasn't thinking, well, just because something happened there, they were going to cancel my flight. But obviously it got canceled. But because I was at home, I had the TV on. Obviously, none of us saw the first plane hit the first tower. So someone said, hey, a small plane, hit the World Trade Center. So I figured, well, somebody just must have misdirection or something, a small aircraft. And so I had the TV on and saw it live when the second aircraft hit the tower. And, think about the bravery of the fire department and the police department and other people that were just there that rushed into a tower with an airplane hanging out of it, not knowing what's going to happen. And it's interesting, obviously I'm sure the terrorists knew 9/11 was our number that we dial for help. But it's interesting, after 9/11, people came to God. And whenever you have a cry out for help, you need to come to God. You've got to come back to God. He's there. He'll always help you. But, it was a tragic day. It really changed everyone's life, not just America, everyone's lives. The way we fly now is different. Now we have to go and take off all our clothes in order to go through the metal detectors and all those things now, and be scrutinized. And sometimes it's a pain, but, I don't mind because, I'd rather feel that I'm a little more safer, for doing that. People for a while wouldn't even travel by aircraft once they were able to. It took a while before they were able to. I know that because my flight to Miami took about 2 months for me to actually complete before I actually was able to go do that, had some business there. And so, it was a tragic day. But, in some ways it was a great day because, like I said, we became one nation under God once again. The churches were full up once again. People, and we had prayer meetings, and people were full. They came to church to pray. They came to church to pray for this nation. They came to church. We came together as Americans. But it shouldn't take a tragedy for us to come together as Americans and as Christians and as brothers and sisters in Christ. We shouldn't have to wait till somebody dies or great things happen before we actually come to Jesus, because it seems the only time we come for help into Jesus is when things are going bad in our life. It seems the only time that we come together. And now 15 years later, here we are. What happens is people start getting the new normal. It's normal now that terrorism is a threat, everywhere you might go. It's kind of the new normal. Once you get the new normal, you get back out of church, you get unpatriotic. Obviously today marks the first day of football. The Cowboys lost, by the way, game just ended. But anyway, around the league, a number of players now are kneeling instead of standing for the national anthem. I understand it's their right to do that, but I think it's disrespectful for America. Amen. I think it's disrespectful for the men and women who fought for this country. And I do understand. I get it. There are a lot of things wrong with America. I get it. I understand that there are some things that need to be changed. But, I've had the privilege to travel all around this world. And I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather live here than any other nation. Amen. You know, I've been in China where I had to have two meetings canceled because the police were around and they were checking on different services and stuff, and they didn't think it was safe to have a service. You know, we don't realize how free we are. We don't realize, you know, the fact that we have a freedom to stand up or not stand up for our national anthem is a freedom. Amen. You know, and I think it's very disrespectful. And I get it. I mean, you know, we have players that believe that there's some bad things going on, you know. But, today should be the day. You know, if you want to sit any other day, but today should we just say we should stand up and honor the veterans and the police and the fire department and the men and women and, you know, there in 9/11 that helped us throughout that tragic day. I mean, I had the unique opportunity actually after 9/11 I visited New York twice after the trade towers went down and visited that site and actually conducted some interviews and things like that. And it was just a somber experience. I mean, Not actually right here in Oklahoma City, we kind of understand on a smaller scale, you know, downtown Oklahoma City, the Murrow Building coming down. And, you know, because it wasn't foreign terrorists, we kind of think a little bit different of it, or at least the nation does. But, you know, really, it was that point where it really kind of affected me a whole lot. In fact, I still have never even visited the monument down there. I've thought about going, and it's just... it's too somber. I mean, I knew people who died. I mean, it's just some of you might know as well. It's just hard for me. And I understand we're not celebrating death, we're celebrating life, but it's hard to visit those kind of places and think about, you know, what happened, how tragic it was. And, you know, sometimes it just makes you mad. But, you know, really it should make you mad at the devil. Because we all know my favorite scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's there to kill us. Now, what ultimately, you know, like I said, when that happened, America came together, and I wish we'd come together again. You know, I mean, we're probably the most divided we've ever been, especially during this presidential election time. And, you know, it's always kind of time that divides the country. And it doesn't really matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, or you don't know what you are. You know, it doesn't matter. We're all Americans. You know, as long as you live in this country, you're an American. Some people are guests of the country. They're not citizens, but most of us here have the privilege to be a citizen of the United States of America and proud of our country. And we should be proud of our country. Amen. You know, but I believe that we need to be one nation under God again. Amen. We need to be bound, you know, together again, you know, and I don't know what it would take to do that, but I hope it doesn't take another tragedy like 9/11 in order for us to come together. I hope it doesn't. You know, we just need a revival. We need to pray for this nation. And I believe in our own time that we need to pray for this nation, because you know what? God's still in control. And God still, you know, is working miracles, and he has plans, and he has purposes for us. And, you know, it's just tragic, you know, but I spent many years being a youth pastor, and being a youth pastor, it was interesting because almost every summer, you know, what happens is the kids are not hanging around their friends as much, especially the ones that can't drive or whatever. So you know, they're not going to school, they're not in their normal routine, and then we get them out to church camp, and you know what? These kids get on fire for God. It's amazing how on fire they get, and all of a sudden school happens, and life goes back to normal. And pretty soon, these kids that were on fire, you know, by Christmas time, you know, I mean, they're so cold, you know, you can't even see them. I don't mean cold because the weather's cold. I mean, they're not on fire. But you know what? That same thing has happened to our nation. In the last 15 years, you know, once we came together for a while, even week after week after week, people, you know, came in church, make church a routine, were there, but all of a sudden, life happens again. And they begin to, you know, and I think actually the further it takes for another tragedy, you know, so it's okay, well, it's not going to happen again, this isn't going to happen again, you know, or whatever. But, you know, what's interesting now, I mean, like I said, we have tragedies all over. We had the shooting there in a few months ago in Orlando and stuff, but those things don't bring us together anymore. You know, well, that didn't happen in New York City. That didn't happen here. That didn't happen. It don't matter what happens. There's an attack on this nation. You know, there's an attack going on. And the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. You know, but really the Bible says to resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But I believe as a nation, we need to resist the devil. As a nation, we need to, like I said, once again, become one nation under God. And it's not like that anymore. And, you know, I wasn't in the military. Obviously, my dad was, and he's very patriotic. And, you know, he brought me up to be very patriotic. It really bothers me. It brings me to tears to watch people that disrespect the flag, that, you know, won't stand up for the national anthem. I mean, you know, because I don't believe that they understand how good they have it here in America. Because, it doesn't matter how bad you might think it is, it's really good here. It is really good here. I mean, you know, some of the facts that we basically 24 hours a day can go get something to eat. You realize that? I mean, you take that for granted sometimes when your other countries, there's no restaurants open anymore. It's too late. You know, if you do a late meeting, that's too late. You can't go any, you know, go to restaurants. Now, there's other countries that do have 24-hour everything like we do. But, you know, it's pretty interesting, you know, how you get used to. I mean, you can go to the grocery store in the middle of the night and, you know, no big deal. It's not always like that. Now, it hadn't always been like that, you know, until certain places come, you know, came along or whatever. But, you know, we do have a good life. You know, but the other side about it is, you know, when 9/11 happened, there also became a lot of hatred, you know, toward people that might have been Middle Eastern descent and that kind of stuff. And that's not right either. Do you realize that Jesus Christ was Middle Eastern descent? I'm not sure if you realize that or not. But, I mean, you know, Jesus Christ was Middle Eastern descent. I mean, all the children of Israel, all Middle Eastern descent. And just because the way somebody looks doesn't mean that they're a bad person. I understand there are a lot of bad people in this world, you know. But the fact of the matter is we need to love other people. Regardless of what they believe, regardless, you know, I said it's their right to believe what they believe, you know, but we need to be more loving, because it is interesting how if somebody walks in and you can tell, you know, that they're Islamic, how normal Americans kind of like leave them alone, how, you know, and it's really, really sad. I mean, even the other day we were at a Brahms there by my house, and we were getting some ice cream, and I had my granddaughter, and she's running around, and there were two ladies, and, you know, they had their head coverings on, or it was a mom and daughter, you know. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, how sometimes we just don't talk to them just because we don't know if they want to talk to us or whatever. But they were watching my granddaughter, and they began talking. Oh, she's so cute. We had a pretty good conversation right there with them, you know, just talk about how, you know, how cute she was. And she was, you know, just running around, just, you know, they were smiling, we were smiling. It was just, you know, a good thing. I lived across the street from my family. My very first house I built I'm not sure where they were, but, you know, where they were from, but somewhere in the Middle East. And I tell you what, they were the nicest people. They would watch out for us. And my wife was really good about leaving the garage door open a lot of times. And they were always working their cars late at nighttime. They come knock on the door a couple of times and said, hey, you know, your garage is still open, you know, and stuff. I mean, they, you know, they were very good people. And just because somebody, you know, looks like someone on the outside, you know, God doesn't look to the outside. He looks at the heart. And we need to sometimes even watch, you know, how we are. You know, just because someone doesn't look like we think they should look, you know, we shouldn't treat them any differently. Just because they have a bunch of tattoos or this or that or whatever, you know, they're still a human being. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes people look the way they do. Some people are angry the way they are because nobody wants to talk to them. It doesn't, you know, it never hurts whenever you're walking down the street and you see someone just to say hi, you know, or hello, how you doing, or something like that. You know, I'm not sure you have to have a long conversation with someone that looks a little bit different, you know. But, you know, it's no, you shouldn't just jump in your car and lock the doors real fast or something. I mean, Now, I understand if you see a guy carrying a gun and they look a little, that might be a little bit different, you know, situation. Or, you know, if you're in a bad area of town for whatever you're doing there, you know, there might be a little bit thing. We got to be smart as well. But, you know, I believe that you know, this table over here that speaks love. Jesus always loved everybody, and it started out where he says, you know, we see where Jesus loved the little children, but he loved everyone, whether they were little, whether they were young, whether they were old, and, you know, he hung out with people that other people didn't want to hang out with, the ones that were down and out. But you know what? The funny part about it is, aren't those the ones who really needed Jesus? You know, but the funny part about it is a lot of times Christians are afraid to hang out with the people who really need Jesus. We rather hang out with people who don't need Jesus, the people who come to church and the people who felt, and you know, we should fellowship together as believers, but you know what? We should take it to the world as well. You know, and I'm not saying, because I'm really not the person that says that we should preach a sermon to everybody. I don't think so. I think we should just love everybody. All right, you don't have to preach a sermon to, you know, to people, because people don't want to hear your sermons. All right, you know, they don't. All people want to know is that you care about them. You know, you know, if you see them going through some stuff, I mean, find out, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. You realize that people who supposedly really aren't Christians, if they're going through an issue and you say they're praying for you, most time they say, well, great, keep praying. It's an interesting part about it. Now I have actually found out sometimes that some people really are Christians, or you know, whenever there's something going on in their life and they put up, go to somebody, hey, please pray for me. Well, I'm thinking, really? I thought you were an atheist, actually. Maybe not, you know, but you know, I believe that what we need to do, first of all, is come together. Second of all, is love people. And I believe that that's what Jesus taught us whenever he was here. And I believe that he already said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, you know, and he wants us to have a good life. But if you can't really have a good life whenever you're divided, you know, and it's just sad, you know, not this church, but I mean, even churches sometimes are divided. Even some of the people over on this side don't want to talk to the people on that side. But now, obviously, we know that we're not divided, because every time we have fellowship time, it takes forever to get everyone to sit down again. You know, but you know, there are some churches where some people over here won't talk to some people over there, or this, that, or whatever. And obviously, that's not good. But, you know, I think that that 15 years, you know, is not really a long time, obviously. Some of you that are a little, even older than I think, well, 15 years, man, that goes by like that, you know. You know, 15 years in a very short period, it's just amazing the demise of our nation. You know, and what the amazing part about it was, is that whenever that happened, everybody came together. Well, what happened? I don't know what happened. I mean, I don't know, except for the devil's just the devil. You know, I don't know how to fix it, but you know what? It's not going to be the president that's going to fix it. Whoever wins, they're not going to fix it. Congress isn't going to fix it. You know, our all the world leaders are not going to fix it. They'll be like Humpty Dumpty. They're going to fall off the wall. I mean, you know, they're not going to do anything. It's not going to be fixed by human intervention. You're not going to come up with a plan that is going to work. You know, God's the only way. It's only through prayer. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rules on high. You know, it's not really about people that do stuff. It's about the motivation behind the people. Do you realize anytime you do something, you have motivation? There's motivation behind what you do. I mean, we make choices every day. Whenever we have an opportunity to get angry, we can either choose to be angry, or choose to laugh about it, or choose to cry about it, or choose to, you know, go in a hole and, you know, avoid everybody. And, you know, and people make different choices. Some people get angry. Some people go, you know, go off by themselves, or this or that or whatever. But we make choices every day. But I'm here to tell us that every day we need to choose God. Amen. Every day we need to choose Jesus. And don't wait for your 9/11 to happen before you do it. Don't wait for your tragedy to happen. Because, you know, in fact, it's interesting. You know, of course, now we have the Bible on our devices and our telephones or whatever, but used to, whenever you had when everyone carried a Bible, a lot of times, you know, if it wasn't for tragedy, the Bible never got opened. It never got opened. Nobody ever, you know, opened it or moved it or whatever. Now, in fact, you know, now this is kind of a weird point, but it's another point. For whatever reason, in our house that my dad and my mom had built that we moved into, upstairs we had this little area. I don't know why. It's like you came up the stairs and there was like a little alcove type thing. There's not really nothing you can do about it. So my mom put I think she found the biggest Bible you can find somewhere, and then she put a stand, and you know, and just the Bible was like sitting on almost like a podium type deal. I think I'm the only person who ever read that Bible. Now I don't know why anyone would go over there and read Bob, because it's almost like when you're standing there, you're like saying they're preaching or something like that. But I would purposely change the Bible pages sometimes and I'd read a scripture and change it to a certain page, just to see if anyone else ever touched it. You know, nobody ever did. I think I'm the only one that ever touched it. Maybe, you know, I'm just the only one that's curious enough to go over there and look at it. You know, and normally we always kept it on the 91st Psalm. That's where we opened up to, you know, for protection. And but, you know, and obviously we did read other Bibles in our house, but I think that's like the Bible at a lot of people's houses. It never gets touched. You know, but tragedy happens, and all of a sudden, man, I mean, you know, everything changes. Now you're on a one-year Bible program, and you're reading all the scriptures, you're getting hold of all these scriptures and things like that, and then life goes back to normal, and all of a sudden, you forget about God. Now, the great thing about it, God never forgets about you. Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I mean, he's always with us, even whenever we forget about him sometimes. You know, and that's the point is, you cannot solve your problems. You know, and of course, you know the way I preach, so I always say quit trying. Quit trying to solve your problems, because you're not going to solve them. You know, even though I've preached, I don't know how many times right here, I know each and every one of us, including myself, have had problems we've all tried to solve. Even though you've heard me say it, I've said it. It's just, you know, what happens is we go through life and we're trying to solve problems. You know, I think a lot of it is because of the way we were taught in school. There's a problem in front of you, you got to solve it. You know, and if you're in math class, got to show your work. Our teacher tells you, you know, you don't know the answer, you have to show your work. Yeah, but did on a calculator, that's not good enough, you have to show your work. So, you know, but the deal is this, you know, with the problems of life, only God can solve them. You know, yeah, there are some things you might be able to figure out, but ultimately you're going to come to a place in time that it's too big for you. You know, and I think the reason why a lot of people 15 years later are not in church is because they're only motivated by fear. Fear motivates them to do something for a while, but if you're only motivated by fear, ultimately you're going to quit being afraid at some point in time. You know, and now if it takes fear to motivate you to get you in church, then after you get in church, you stay in church, then maybe that was good. But see, that's why a lot of times it doesn't work. A lot of witnessing on the street doesn't work, because we try to witness by fear. You're going to die and go to hell. You know, well, people don't want to die and go to hell. I mean, so maybe they get fearful or whatever, but ultimately that what's going to keep them in is love. Love keeps people in. Love among each other. And, you know, and the thing about it is Christ does love us and he cares about us. And he showed us on Calvary. He showed us through his death, burial, and resurrection, because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, God gave his only son to the world, to a lost and dying and hurting world, to change the world. And just like 9/11 changed our world, so did, I mean, you know, the birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ changed our world to even a greater thing. Because you know what? That gave the answer to any tragedy that might ever happen. Our answer is in Jesus. If you don't know the answer, it's always Jesus. In fact, many of us know because we sang the song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. How many people know that song? Now, you know what? We know the song, but when we're looking for an answer, a lot of times we forget about it. We forget that he is the answer. We forget about that. See, above him, there's no other. So it doesn't matter what the devil is trying to do. It doesn't matter what tragedies, you know, strike you. It doesn't matter what kind of miracle you need. What matters is that Jesus is the answer. And at that name, demons have to tremble. At that name, knees have to bow. At the name of Jesus. So today, you know, we do celebrate a tragedy that ultimately caused us to triumph. But what's more important is not 9/11. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be celebrating on every Sunday. Amen. And every day. Because it's because of Jesus that we can face tomorrow. It's because of Jesus that all fear is gone. Obviously, that's another song that many of you know. You know, see, with me, what happens is whenever I face stuff, the scriptures comes out, songs come out all the time. And then, you know, but you know what? In order to have that come out, it has to be put in you. Amen. We have to put it in us on a daily basis. We have to put the scripture in. You know, obviously, I was very fortunate to grow up the way I grew up. I've heard a lot of messages on faith, and you know, I've heard a lot of. But you know what? Just because you grew up in the church doesn't keep you there. I know a lot of other ministers' kids that grew up in the church, and today they're out in the middle of the world, lost, hurting. You know, but the thing about it is, the reason they were is because the church didn't love them. The church didn't care for the church. You know, a lot of times people make excuses and things like that. But you know, Jesus loves us. Amen. He cares about us. He wants to see us set free. He wants to see us, you know, doing good. I mean, that was his hope. I mean, he says, I came, you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means Jesus came so you can do good. And I don't mean doing good like do good to other people. I mean do good financially, physically, in every way. So be a do-good. Amen. That's what Jesus wants. I mean, you should do good to your neighbors, but also you should be doing good in every area of your life. And if you're not doing good, if you're doing bad, then come to Jesus. He'll help you do good. Amen. When you face tragedies, come to Jesus. But like I said, it shouldn't take a tragedy to come to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and purpose for their life. We thank you, Father, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die so that we could go to heaven. We thank you, Father, that for everything that you're doing in our midst today. But Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that today that they will come back, or they'll come home, or they'll come home the first time, or rededicate their life and come back home. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior and you want to tonight, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you said, one time I did know Jesus, but I turned my back and I went away. If that's you, just lift your hand. There's a hand back there. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. Or I want to come home. I walked with God, but I turned my back and I went away. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved. I am saved. But I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 said they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and they begin to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never had that experience, it's for you tonight. If that's you, if you need that experience, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Amen. Well, I just want to ask the young man back there to come down here. I want to pray with you. Come on here, sir. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What you came here for is a gift from God, whether it's rededication or coming to Jesus for the first time. If I said I want to give you a physical gift, how would you get it? How would you get those gifts? I say I want to give you these books. Reach out and take them, all right? Those are yours. You know, thinking of gifts, I always think about Christmas. You like Christmas? You know, Christmas time, your mom and dad probably used to put gifts under the tree before Christmas. And then as little kids, you know, it would say, your name's Mike, so they'd say, to Mike from mom and dad. And before Christmas, you know, we used to shake the gifts, and sometimes we knew what they were because the boxes. You ever did that? You know, the thing about it is the gift belonged to us before we ever opened it. It was ours. And that's what it is with Jesus Christ. You know, whenever we come into him, we open our gift. So today's our Christmas day. Or maybe you're coming back home. See, you took your gift and you played with it for a while. But then all of a sudden, you know, toys, you know, we put them on the shelf. And then sometimes I used to go to my closet and find old toys. I'm thinking, I haven't played with that in 20 years. Maybe not 20 years, but years. And I play with it again or whatever. But so today is your Christmas day. Mike, I want you to lift one hand toward heaven. No matter what it is, I'm going to pray with you. Father God, we thank you for Mike. We thank you for his life. And we thank you, Father, right now for just helping him like never before. Thank you for forgiving him from his sins. We thank you for setting him free. And we just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn around. This is Glenn. He's going to take you. He's going to talk with you a little, pray with you a little more. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Praise God. Always an awesome time.